You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
And I've come to see that just because a game looks great doesn't mean it's fantastic. I remember playing Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast for the first time, and I'm like, this is the future! But the game itself was pretty shallow. Uh-oh, Sonic fans. Sonic fans, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for two things. I'm sorry for the statement that I just made, and I'm sorry that Sonic Force is gone.
This week on the Famicom Dozer Video Game Podcast, it's time to clean out your fridge. Nintendo is shutting down the Wii Shop online store, WiiWare and related virtual console titles. In Future Retro, we talk about Super Mario Odyssey for Nintendo Switch and tease some of what's coming for Famicom Dojo in 2018. Oh, please, one more continue.
John.
Hey, Vank.
So, you listen to our podcast?
We have a podcast? Have you been recording my calls?
Oh, man. Old joke. Yeah, we got a podcast. Have you been saving the episodes as you listen to it?
I've switched phones now, but I've re-downloaded things. Sure, why?
I don't know. I guess most podcasts I listen to, I stream them, or like I have the episodes delete after I'm done listening to them. That's what I usually do.
Oh, I still have all 69 plus episodes of the Adventure Zone on my phone. I probably should archive that.
And I think we should start archiving that because Sean, what if one day you and I decided that we would not offer our back episodes anymore. What do you think? What do you think? I mean, some people would have them already, but some people wouldn't. And
sure.
What do you think? Do you think that's a business model we want to use going forward?
Well, I mean, under our current configuration, it doesn't cost us anything to continue to offer the old episodes. It's not anything more than what it costs us to host them in general. So I don't see why we'd stop unless there was a cost factor to it.
Would they? But even still, are they going to be available forever?
I mean, I can't imagine a scenario, for instance, where we try to make money on the old episodes in the future.
That's true. But what I'm getting at is that is possibly what's happening with some sectors of gaming right now.
Oh, yeah.
In that things that now nobody buys our podcast. I mean, some people have
that I'm aware of.
I hope not. By the way, if you're listening to this and you paid money for it, you overpaid. And
that's right. We aren't seeing a cent of whoever charged you.
But I guess thank you. You're definitely a super fan, but I mean, if you want to give us some money, have you noticed Sean's microphone this week sounds pretty bad? Sean, what are you talking to us through right now?
I am using the same one of the two SingStar microphones we used to record our season one DVD commentary.
I know. You know, usual professional podcasting equipment, a SingStar microphone. No, seriously, we are like one step up from two cups and a string right now. So if you would like to support the podcast, what can they do? What can they do to help, Mr. Sean?
Well, the best way for you to get something out of it is we are still, at least as of this recording, selling our Famicom Dojo t-shirts and DVD bundle. Beyond that, though, you can also sponsor an episode or partly sponsor an episode. And we're trying something a little bit different. We'll offer multiple sponsorship messages per episode for half the price of what we used to
charge,
which is now $15, which is also coincidentally about the same price as it would cost to buy a T-shirt and a DVD. No, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Sure.
After shipping, it's $20, but before shipping, it's just $15.
That's true.
So if you've already bought yourself that bundle, I mean, this is the next best thing.
I suppose. I mean, now if it's already after Christmas too, it makes a fantastic beginning of the new year gift.
That's right. 2018 started off right with Famicom Dojo.
And if we have really dragged our feet, it makes a really nice spring cleaning gift.
Oh, good grief. Well, I mean,
Mother's Day. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get these episodes out.
Good. Well, so what we're trying to say is that your support is definitely appreciated.
It is.
I'll have to be using this mic until I get a new cable for the microphone I usually use, which has apparently decayed into complete uselessness
due to lack of use. Sorry.
Or is it overuse?
Or overuse? I don't know.
I've had that cable since before this podcast started.
Oh.
I hear some professional setups have multiple cables and or microphones.
God.
And not SingStar ones.
Poppycock.
The Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is made possible by listeners like you. And this week, one of those listeners is Paul Spicknall. Paul just wants you all to know that Famicom Dojo is my favorite YouTube channel and podcast. I've been watching you all since 2009, and it was your show and podcast that caused me to start importing, buy my own Famicom, and even started collecting my retro games. So I just wanted to sponsor you all because I feel you are both great, and as a thank you to all the wonderful work you both do. Aw, thank you, Paul. If you're looking for something more tangible, we are still selling t-shirts and DVDs over at famicomdojo.tv/store. Sizes small through extra large are still available, as is a bundled DVD for a really good price. And if afterwards you still have money burning a hole in your pocket, you can head over to littlepodcast.com and click on the sponsor button for Famicom Dojo to leave us a message or just give a shout out to one of your fellow dojo disciples.
So That's an odd introduction to a topic that actually is kind of worrisome for both of us right now. So what, Sean, can illuminate us? What prompted this topic today?
Well, you may have seen the news if you still follow our Facebook page and or Twitter, or I believe it was at least in one of those places. That Nintendo is going to be shutting down the remaining Wii services that still haven't been shut down. So that's the Wii, not the Wii U, for those who are panicking.
Yeah.
Although the release was a little vague because it did mention Wii U, but I think they were referring to the Wii shop on the Wii mode of the Wii U.
Yeah, I think so.
But it'll be the Wii U's time eventually, and that's what's concerning me, because are there things on the Wii that I would like to buy that I haven't bought yet? You only have until January.
Yep.
I believe.
I mean, I think I've pretty much bought what I want to. Although, I don't know. A few of those PC Engine games on the Virtual Console are very tempting, because we never really got that support in full on the Wii U. But then again, it makes me not want to buy them because I don't know what I'm going to do with that data. Like, for the Wii U, at least I can hook a hard drive to it, which I have. So, like,
right,
for anything I need to download, I can just download it to the hard drive. Should be okay. But the Wii is limited to, like, SD cards and things like that.
True.
And I have, over the years, I've bought more than I can fit on a single SD card, because there's a capacity limit, right? On the Wii.
I believe so.
I don't know what it is exactly, but I remember a lot of need to clean out your fridge. Do you remember that? You remember when they went on, when people were like complaining about that there was no storage space? They're like, just clean out your fridge. But now...
No, I never heard that.
Oh, it was something, I don't know, it was either Reggie or Cammy, or this, to tell you how far back it is, said. But back then, it was inconvenient, but it was a reasonable thing to say. Just delete some of the stuff that's already on there and then re-download it, later on. But when that Now, let's back up a little bit. They have not announced a shutoff date for when they will stop allowing you to download things you've already purchased. What they've announced is the end of a purchase, but the wording they used made it very clear that they do intend to shut down the re-downloading at some point in the future as well.
Right, and when I lost everything on my Wii and had it serviced, and I'm sure that their service periods are also going to be a part of this if they aren't already, I think I had to download everything again off of the Wii shop. So, like, if whatever happened to my Wii happens again, I'm SOL, like, completely.
Oh, yeah, totally. And that, I think, is a big problem. And you know, I mean, anybody who listens to this podcast, the first thing they're going to be surprised at is, why should these guys care? Don't they buy everything physical and make fun of people who don't, you know? But no, because Virtual Console is something I was very pleased with, because it allowed some of the rarer games to be acquired very cheaply. Neo Geo titles, PC Engine titles, things like that. So I bought into the Virtual Console, and I also bought some of the WiiWare games. I really like the My Life as a King story, My Life as a Dark Lord. I bought a World of Goo. I bought on the Wii first, you know, things like that. And yes, some of those things I now have on other platforms as well. But some of it, when it goes away, it's gone. It doesn't exist in any physical medium. Like, some of these titles are actually going to be disappearing from the ability to buy. I mean, this isn't the first time things like that has happened, but I think it is the first time it's happened on a Nintendo console.
Right, because this is the first one that had any kind of built-in internal storage.
Well, let me take that back. But okay. I mean, not quite the same, but when Satellaview service went down, some games became not unplayable per se, but like, you know, a lot of their functionality was removed. So I guess
because the audio streamed over the satellite service in a lot of cases. So
exactly. So yeah, I guess this isn't, but that's, I don't know. This is just making me like not want to buy anything digital ever again. It really, really is. I mean, and I know. I can hear people typing from here. I know that a lot of people will just say that is my paranoia, and I get that. I understand.
It's not paranoia. That's the truth, man.
No, but I mean, like for example, a lot of people are of the opinion that Steam will outlive us all, and it might. It might. I mean, like.
All right.
But we have no real assurance of that. Now, I buy a lot of stuff on Steam because it's cheap. It's really cheap. It's an easy way to play, especially with all these sales going on. But like, even services that I had come to trust. Okay, let's go with Apple. I had bought some seasons of a television show previously, and found out the other day that they had been removed from the store. And I'm like, okay, I can't buy them anymore. And actually, they'd been removed from the store a couple of years ago, but I could still stream them to my Apple TV. Okay. And I figured I'd be able to forever because I did buy them, you know, at the expense of about $70. But a few days ago, I was trying to watch again, and they're gone.
Gone.
It says, this is no longer available on the store. And I'm like, so it has disappeared. There's been no refund issued. And I know I should have archived that stuff. You know what I mean? I should have taken the 48 episodes, downloaded them to a hard drive somewhere, and put them. But like, part of the reason we are doing digital in the first place is the convenience of not having to do that.
Right.
it's the same with when you don't when you have your large Steam library. You know, you don't keep them all on your computer because that would take up an incredible amount of space, but you have this notion that you're going to be able to play them again in the future at some point. I think the first cracks in the system were back with PT, right? Where we first, like, people first started noticing things, that things can be removed, you know, from your library.
Forever,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous for PSN stuff right now. I have a lot of Vita games that I've bought, and the Vita's going to be out of there in a couple of years. How long will Sony continue to allow me to download those things? I know you can't buy PSP games right now off the service, but you can still re-download the ones you have. But for how long?
Yeah,
Maybe you just can't download on a PSP. I'm not sure. Maybe you can still buy PSP games. I'm not sure. But in any event, I'm growing increasingly worried that the digital libraries I built up, which are small compared to most people, as you know, I'm physical or bust in most cases.
Right.
But I have, you know, invested hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars on digital media over the years, be it music, movies, games, or whatever, and I'm growing increasingly worried that I don't own anything.
Well, that's kind of how they want it, right? So they can sell it to you later, at least the ones that are popular enough to resell, which is the thing I'm concerned with.
Yeah.
What was it? Saw a good friend of the show, Josh, had posted that he got Shattered Hand for NES for $9 back when it was worth $25, and now that game is worth $75. And I'm like, how?
Yeah.
This bargain basement NES title
is
like, no. That's wrong.
I know. It's kind of ridiculous. And I just don't know. And the thing is, I'm also growing worried that the next generation of consoles are not going to even have a physical option.
Right. Like I feel like we're lucky that we can buy physical games on the Switch, for instance.
Yeah.
Because they actually took the time to make a cartridge format that would work with it.
How sad do you want to be? Should I continue talking?
Continue?
Okay. A lot of cartridges that are being... Not a lot, but there's been about 4 or 5 games right now that are being released where the game is not actually on the cartridge.
I was aware there was some problem with, like, one of the new LEGO games.
Yeah.
But then they went back on that, I heard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one was fine. That one was resolved, but... if you buy the new NBA game, you can basically just play one mode from off the cartridge before downloading a huge patch. Actually, a save file is 5 gigs. A save file is... But more alarmingly, the game L.A. Noire, Rockstar's first Nintendo title since I think Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars... The game size is like I think it's like 27 gigs or something, but they put it on like an 8 or 16 gig cart, meaning that there's a mandatory download of most of the game.
I see.
And it will not function at all. You will have no game without this mandatory download, which also requires you to have an SD card. The thing is, it's not that they can't put the whole game on a cartridge. The Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2 cartridge is 32 gigs, showing that the cartridge size exists, but they're expensive. So a lot of third-party manufacturers have just decided to cheap out and go for small cartridges, which basically are just an unlock.
Right. And to kind of go along with that... a lot of games, including one we'll talk about later today, yep. Super Mario Odyssey, have day one patches, which I don't know. Does that effectively render the cart useless if you try and rebuy it? I wonder. Well, I mean, in this case, maybe not.
It does,
but I wonder in other cases if that means that the game is either buggy or unplayable or some other like basically this is all the worst fears of having a digital medium.
Yep.
Or at least a digital enabled medium, like, coming to fruition here.
Exactly.
Is that the physical media, while it exists, doesn't even really count for much anymore.
I will say that when it comes to the Super Mario Odyssey, for the first number of times I played it without installing the patch. So it was... I'm really not sure exactly what the patch did. Maybe it added in more amiibo support, or maybe there were some glitches, but I think the game is beatable without the day one patch, because the review copies, I don't think, had the day one patch, so it's probably okay. A game like Doom, which was released recently, all the single player is on the cartridge. The multiplayer needs to be downloaded, which makes sense. I don't have any... I have no problem with that, to tell you the truth.
Okay, because, you know, once the digital services are gone, the multiplayer is useless.
Exactly. And that's why I bought Splatoon digitally. Because when the services go down, there's no game anyway. So it doesn't...
It
matters to me. I mean, already Splatoon has the original Wii Splatoon has been
Wii U.
Yeah, sorry, Wii U Splatoon has been had features removed now that Miiverse is shut down.
Has that happened now?
Yes, Miiverse is gone. You know, we missed our window. You could have requested from Nintendo to give you an archive of all your posts.
Oh.
But I didn't know about that until some people were like, hey, I got my archive. And I'm like, yay!
No.
How do I get it? No, it's too late.
Too late.
But
see, if only we'd been podcasting
this
whole time, we probably would have known about it.
Someone would have told us. But anyway.
Because we would have complained about Miiverse.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Splatoon 2. Because I noticed how much effort they put in to replicating the Miiverse in that game.
Yeah, but I don't want to post things like that to my Twitter. Maybe I'll make another Twitter just for Splatoon.
That's a bummer, man. Like I spent a lot of time in Miiverse when it first came out.
Uh-huh.
Like if I had had something, I guess the 3DS got support later.
Yeah.
But at the time, if I had been able to bring my Wii U with me, or at least the game. The gamepad.
Oh yeah.
Then I would have been on Miiverse a lot, and if they had ever released any kind of mobile friendly anything,
they would have
been on there a lot. They made their website mobile compatible, but they didn't release like an app
that would have
made it easy to use.
That's true. But yeah, so that was. Miiverse was like a really good idea, poorly implemented. So,
was it poorly implemented, or was it just inaccessible?
Maybe inaccessible. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. It really gave me something cool, and I used it multiple times to ask for hints for things. And the community was wonderful. One of the nicest communities I've ever been at. But, yeah. So anyway, so Doom the full single player is on the cart, but here's the problem. There's a day one patch for this game, and it requires downloading the multiplayer to put this patch on. So, if you want to have a version that's actually something that you as a preservationist can hold on to, an actual game, you can't patch it. Because by adding the multiplayer, it requires, we are Famicom Dojo Podcast, and we are usually pro-Nintendo to the extent where we've definitely been accused of being fanboys, I don't trust that even a great company like Nintendo is going to keep these services up for, you know, long enough for, I don't even know how long. I mean, I guess our benchmark is about 10 years with the Wii right now. So, Oh my goodness, that's scary. But I mean, that's exactly what the, you know, the publishers of games are hoping for. They do not want preservation. They do not want us playing old games. They want us playing new games with loot boxes. And don't think we're not going to talk about that in a future podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yep. Battlefront 2. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. What can we do about it?
Nothing. Either we don't game anymore.
Nope.
And just stick to the old stuff. Or we just accept that things are impermanent. I mean,
nope.
We're getting older.
Nope, not me.
We're not permanent.
I'm not old. I'll live forever as well. I know. And you know what? And I mean, maybe that actually is it. I mean, already I have more games right here than I will ever play or complete in my life. I mean, that just is the truth. And I'd like to think that I'm preserving these games for my kids, but probably when I die, they're going to just sell it all off on eBay.
Right. Assuming it's worth anything anymore.
I think it will be, because there's a lot of people like us.
Are you saying eBay is going to outlive us?
eBay or something like it, yeah. Yeah. Oh man. This is depressing. Nice. Let's talk about something fun. Are we done talking about this?
Yeah, let's talk about something fun instead.
Let's talk about something fun that we've been doing.
And now, a haiku.
Wii SD card full. Can I re-download later? Alas, 2019.
Hey, Vink.
Hey, Sean.
Have you been playing any awesome games lately?
I have played an awesome... You know what? I've played a lot of awesome games lately, but I think I know the one you're referring to.
Yep. I am, of course, talking about Papers, Please. No. that's a pretty good game,
that
too.
That is a pretty good
game. No, I picked up my first new Switch game since Splatoon 2.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, Sean, I also picked up my 16th physical Switch game.
God. All right.
17th is coming in a couple of days. As of recording this podcast, we are mere days away from the release of Xenoblade 2.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
All right. Well.
This might be the last podcast for a while.
Oh no. Don't say that.
Don't worry. By the time this comes out. Anyway. Yeah. Super Mario Odyssey. If you've played the game, there will be... Are we going to go spoiler-free on... We can't go completely spoiler-free and still talk
about
the game.
I will try and be vague because there's something I want to talk about that I... You got to know something.
Okay, but spoiler warning, we might say something we don't realize is a spoiler or, you know, we'll do our best here, but... If you totally want to go into the experience unscathed, because I do want to talk about one sequence that's about midway through the game that is really, really cool, and I'll give a warning right before I talk about it. How about that?
Okay.
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 Because maybe you haven't even gotten to it yet, Sean.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Okay. So, Super Mario Odyssey. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They got a perfect 10 from a lot of places.
A lot of places.
And I was like, nah.
Okay, before we go further.
Yeah.
Game of the year. Mario Odyssey or Zelda?
Oh, boy.
Or
I think
Mass Effect Andromeda.
No, that's hilarious. You know, I Mass Effect Andromeda is so interesting to me. I think I had a dream about it being a fun game. just because my hopes are dashed.
No, that's so sad.
Yeah.
All right.
But Freddie Mercury also appeared in this dream, so it wasn't a total loss.
Oh, man.
Apparently, it was the anniversary of his death 2 or 3 days ago, so it might not have been a coincidence.
Wow.
Yeah.
Spooky. Anyway, so Super Mario Odyssey. I have to say, I keep calling it Galaxy, by the way. I keep calling it Galaxy.
Oh, no.
I keep referring to that, and my kids are like, it's Odyssey, Dad. And I'm like, oh, so
Galaxy was like 3 games ago, Dad.
I know. Yeah, they do know these things. Super Mario Odyssey is easily my favorite 3D Mario game.
Ooh, I can see that. I feel like it's finally the sequel to Mario 64.
It isn't
that I've been waiting for.
Oh, okay.
I have not beaten the game.
I know.
I
know.
Mean that to be a spoiler, but yeah. just like the way it's constructed,
yep.
The fun, the environments, for those who have been listening to the podcast for a long time, you are probably aware that I have been having a hard time playing Mario games.
Yep.
And I own and haven't played 3D World.
Yep.
And I didn't really care much for New Super Mario
yep.
U, even though I played like the DS version.
Yep.
Not the 3DS, mind you, the DS version.
Yep.
And I got like Super Luigi U because it was more my style, but I really liked, I really enjoyed Super Mario Run.
Yep.
So I played Sunshine and never finished it. So I gotta ask, isn't Bowser supposed to be dead?
Because
like that's the whole point. That's the whole thing in Sunshine, right? That was the first Mario game after 64, where he allegedly dies at the end of 64.
Yeah.
Spoilers for 21-year-old game.
No.
Okay. But
he dies at the end of every game, though. He goes into molten lava.
Right, but he's like dead because like the whole thing is that you're supposed to be fighting Bowser, and like, wait a minute, that's not Bowser. And then so Sunshine directly deals with this, and he hasn't been quote unquote alive since that I'm aware of.
What?
So I must have missed something.
He's the enemy in every single game, other than. I mean, he wasn't in Galaxy, was he?
I see, and Galaxy is another one that I didn't finish.
I didn't finish those Galaxy,
listened for a long time. We'll be aware that's because Mass Effect and Rock Band and all this.
But
360
he was in 3D World though.
I didn't.
He was the main antagonist. Yes.
Okay, was that where he came back permanently, finally? I don't know.
There was no plot in that game. You know, they didn't resolve. Okay. I didn't know he had died.
Okay.
Because Sunshine is a game that my roommate Nathan had, and I watched parts of it, but I never played myself.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I gotta say, I thought it was Mario with voice acting and kind of weird. I should play that game, though. I really should. But, like, the whole flood mechanic when I was watching him play, I'm like, eh, pass.
That didn't bother me. I just, I'll put it this way. I had more fun playing, like, the retro-inspired areas than I did the main game. And, like, when I heard that, like, 3D World was mostly like that, I was like, great. And then I didn't really get into 3D World anyway.
I loved 3D World. I loved it. But that's because I played it multiplayer with my wife. And it was really fun.
I did like the fact that that game was, like, 4-player multiplayer.
Yep.
But what really bugged me about it was that, at least at first, I think they've patched this out since, at first you had to use Wii Remotes. for everyone else who wasn't using the gamepad.
You're thinking of Super Mario Wii U.
Am I?
Wii U, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because
3D World supported from the
beginning.
Right. Yeah.
You're right, I am. But like, you know, just Nintendo doing that kind of thing in general is what's making it hard for me to really latch on to games, because they pull stuff like that.
Yep.
That's just, it makes no sense. And so I don't play a game as a result. And anyway.
But,
okay.
No, I get it, but remember we're spinning positive now. And
right, yes, because this game is wonderful and I have no complaints.
Super Mario Odyssey brings back the sense of wonder I felt when I played Super Mario 64. Mm-hmm. Just that idea of, okay, I have an objective, but I want to see what's over here. Mm-hmm. You know, and can I do this? Yes, I can. Oh, there's something there. I'm going to go swim around the castle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can I climb this tree? I can climb that tree, you know. And how, but more so than Mario 64 even, is the uniqueness between the different kingdoms, the different mm-hmm. art styles, the...
Oh, yeah.
The just... I don't know. It. When I first saw Mario in a realistic environment, when I saw the screens, you know, from New Donk City, I'm like, oh, no, Mario's gone Sonic. You know?
Right.
You know? And I'm like, but... They handled it really well. Did you beat New Donk City yet?
I did. I just did before the podcast, actually.
Oh, okay. So you've seen that sequence then.
That sequence. Okay.
Okay.
I think we're going to talk about the same thing. Can I talk about that sequence, actually? Because I don't think I have a very positive view of it.
What?
Of how I came across it. Well, I don't know.
Okay.
How about I tell my story first, and then you tell your story.
Okay, hold on. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
This happens about halfway through the game, and let's see if Sean and I are talking about the same thing, but spoiler alert for, let's say, the next 10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I'm my kids really like playing this game. Am I playing this game? What I mean to say is, because they're 5 and under right now.
Yeah.
The 3 of them. And, so they're mostly just like going into the Odyssey and going to the wardrobe and changing the outfits that I've been purchasing.
Yep.
That's their main thing.
Yep. Mine wanted to put stickers on the Odyssey. Mine are super into the stickers. Oh. Doesn't matter what land I'm in, they want me to get 5 coins right away so I can get a sticker.
No, I get the outfits first. Tough.
You are a stronger father than I. Okay.
Oh, good grief. But you know, so that's what they like to do. Or they want me to help them get to the T-Rex. Spoilers, it's a T-Rex. That's the main things they like to do. So I'm trying to get to New Donk City.
Yeah.
Now, I this wasn't on purpose, mind you. I had happened to have just unlocked it.
Yeah.
So they see this new place they can go, and they want to see it.
Yeah.
So, okay, we go, and we're going. And then, like, if... I mentioned 80 days last podcast, right?
No,
I didn't. Oh, I mentioned I was going to talk about it for a future show.
Okay.
Well, anyway, it felt a lot like 80 days where all of a sudden something happens. And I'm like, okay, great. What's this? So there is a Bowser boss battle, mini boss battle. That happens right in the middle here. And it ends up with you going off course, which was annoying because we're trying to get to this new area.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then, like,
it was a
fun annoying
battle, though. I liked punching.
It was a fun battle, but they're freaking out. Like, they don't really play the game to fight the enemies.
Yeah.
And my oldest especially doesn't like anything that has to do with the confrontation. So, so he's freaking out, and I'm like, no, it's fine. You know, it took me a couple of tries, but I got through it, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, we'll just keep going. But no, the Odyssey gets knocked out of the sky and is stranded until you can gather enough moons, which isn't a lot, given the amount that you have to collect in some other areas.
Yeah.
So not too bad, but I have to spend time doing this because their TV time is pretty well regulated at this point still, mostly at the behest of my wife, and I tend to be a little less strict about that, right? So here we are, and we're stuck, and I'm like, all right, you guys watch Cars 2 while I while I get this sorted. So the first thing that happens is that you lose Cappy, and I'm like, son of a bitch, like this is like the worst comedy of errors for me, just trying to get them their time with this game.
Yeah.
So I'm so angry. It's a neat sequence, but you know, it was totally antithetical to the experience at that point, where it's just, you go in, you have fun, you beat a guy, and you keep going.
Okay.
That's what I was referring to. Was that what you wanted to talk about?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I kind of forgot about that sequence. Okay. Okay, you've beat New Donk City, but you haven't beat New Donk City yet then.
I haven't beat New Donk City, I
can
guess.
Can I tell you this? I don't want to spoil it for you. I'm a little worried.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Okay, I'm referring to the festival.
Oh, yes, I still have to gather up one more. Yeah, I have not done that yet. Okay, that sounds neat. Maybe you shouldn't tell me.
Okay,
we'll save it for next time.
Okay, we'll save it for next time, because I want you to play that and then tell me how you feel about Odyssey afterwards, because that cemented the game for me.
Okay.
As absolutely delightful.
Okay.
Like, this is the thing, like, now I wish this was a video podcast, because if you look at my face right now, I'll be like, this is how I play Super Mario Odyssey, and I've got this big grin on my face. Just imagine it. But, like, it's so fun. It's a game, and there's constantly something where you're like, oh, we're going 2D now. Ooh, look at that. Wow.
Right. Yeah, I didn't even mention that. And I have mixed feelings about that, because I thought it was so clever when it first happened. Then I went, wait a minute. This is just Link Between Worlds.
Yeah, I know, but oh, my goodness. Wait. Oh, you haven't beat the game yet. Ah, okay. There is such a great sequence. There's several good sequences right near the end of the game. But, okay, here's where the spoilers continue. And I'm not going to spoil any direct detail. But you can beat the story mode with about 124 moons.
Okay, and I'm pretty much there now.
Yeah.
Although I have been gathering, I have noticed one thing. So, like, it's not the number of moons you get, it's the right kinds of moons.
Yeah,
so I've been gathering a whole lot in areas I've beaten already.
Then probably you're going to... Yeah.
So I probably need a lot more than I have.
But a lot of moons you can't get until you've beat the game.
Okay, sure.
I'm sure you've noticed... Okay, we're in the spoiler part, and this isn't going to hurt you very much. I'm sure you've noticed those big metal boxes in every stage.
Yes, and they have been plaguing my existence.
You'll find out what they're for after you beat the game.
Okay. All right. I can wait.
But so I was trying everything on them, and I'm like, open your stupid box. But you have to beat the game first.
Okay.
And it explains what they're all about. But anyway, you can beat the game. Yeah, I think I beat it when I had about 140 moons. Because I was playing it with my kids watching. In fact, I only play it with my kids watching because they would be very upset if I played it while they weren't watching. Because that's their favorite television show.
Is
watching me play Odyssey. And they are strict, too.
Yeah.
They'll be like, we are going to Metro City right now, Daddy. Don't go to the Stew Kingdom or whatever. You know.
Nice.
Because they have specific things they want to do, and but there is so much post game, like there's more post game than game.
I believe it, because it does go very quick if you just play the plot.
Yes, I think I beat the game plot wise after about 12 hours.
Okay.
And I'm like 20 hours in right now, and I'm at around 200 moons.
Okay.
And, I mean, I could probably get them faster, except, like, some of the things are just, like, my daughters really love some sequences. Like, you haven't gotten to the ice world yet, right?
I just got there before we started.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, there's a little rolling race in it. I mean, you'll hear about it immediately in that world. But it's fun, and the girls like seeing it, and they like doing it, and they like, you know. So, you know, some of it's just us playing around with it, you know.
Sure.
But there's so many amazing throwbacks in the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many amazing pieces of nostalgic music. I don't know. It feels like a love letter to gaming in general.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And I know that my kids don't get the references that I'm getting. You know, there's another level to it if you've been playing Mario for 32 years. You know, if you've been playing
right.
Super Mario, if you've been following it. And Donkey Kong as well, to tell you the honest
mm-hmm.
truth.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, you know... Well, you know who the mayor of New Donk City is, right? I mean,
yes.
I'm talking more to the listeners than you, because of course you
yes,
know.
Of course, of course, of course.
But.
And that's why you need to get that other musician, dude. You need to get that
okay.
other musician.
All right.
Make that your first priority, and make sure your kids are there to see it.
I'm feeling, okay, oh boy, okay.
Or,
I mean,
or it's...
Like I said, yeah. They're a bit young yet. They don't know.
Okay.
They don't know the history.
In that case, go do it tonight after this podcast, and it's a sequence you're allowed to replay.
Okay.
So you can
you
show
are.
Your kids
Fantastic.
Later. Yep, yep,
yep. Yeah, so I also don't have to, like, record it.
Oh, like I've been recording.
I've
been recording a lot of stuff because.
Oh right, because
I love
the Switch allows
love
you to do that.
Now. Yeah.
How do you use that feature, by the way? Because I haven't
just hold,
tried it yet.
Hold the capture button down.
Oh, so it's just like a PS4 basically.
It'll record a 30-second clip, the last 30 seconds you just played.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Oh. So it doesn't have to be like starting from that point. It'll
no.
actually go back.
No. So if you did something super cool. Just hit that thing, and it starts it'll capture what you just did.
Oh,
it's
great.
It's actually really cool.
Right.
Unfortunately, it has a 30-second limit. That's the
sure.
unfortunate part.
Sure. Okay.
But yeah, there's so many cool things. My favorite thing is running around the snow level in my underpants. Just. Because my kids spent the thousand coins
for that as soon as I could.
Yep. My kids are like, he's so cold. Please put his snowsuit on. We unlocked the snowsuit. And I'm like, nah. And I like that there's all these little details, though, because Mario will shiver. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's all these. There's so much craft to the game. There's so much.
Oh, absolutely.
There's so and like I know this is sounding like pure fanboy drivel right now, but like I'm not in a minority here when I say this.
Right.
Critics agree. This is truly something special. This game, and it's you usually get a game like this. In a console's generation.
Mm.
And we've had two in the first year. That's pretty
right.
amazing. Maybe three. Really hoping for Xenoblade. Really hoping Xenoblade, you know, brings it in. Mind you, many would contest that Splatoon is also absolutely fantastic. And
it is.
And they just keep adding content to that. Like,
right?
Every time I turn that on, it's like, new stages, new weapons, new modes, new hairstyles. New hairstyles are very cool, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
You know, they just keep doing it. And that's free, which I will definitely bring up when we talk about loot boxes again.
Okay. Okay.
Because there's the argument made that, like, a game cannot offer free upgrades unless it's making money off loot boxes and things like that.
Well, it does help when the company making the game sells the hardware.
That's
and has
true.
Other revenue
That's
streams.
True. Okay, good. We'll fight about it later. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Sounds good.
Because I mean, to tell you the truth, this argument would be better if one of us didn't like Odyssey, but
oh no.
But a few negative points. There is definitely a lot of repetition in the game, you know. In every level, you know, there's certain things that you do pretty much, you know, over and over. But what's lucky is I like those things.
Right. Yeah. It's not so much tedium as it is just a checklist of things like, oh, I know I can do this. And then the times when they sort of skew those expectations are delightful instead of annoying. Except for that one sequence I was talking about earlier.
Well, you know what? That one wasn't so bad because, I mean, I guess I wasn't working with a ticking clock at the time. It was like Sunday afternoon, and my kids and I were watching it, and they were like, "Oh, what's gonna happen?"
Right.
They were into it. They were into it. Although I will say that later there is a boss in the game that is genuinely terrifying to my youngest daughter. Like it's a scary boss. It is not Bowser, and it's not one of them rabbit thingies. It's a legit looking boss, and I don't think you've been there yet. So,
okay.
But
well, there's one I could think of that I thought was more like a Zelda boss than anything else.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Or like a what would it be the Shadow of the Colossus boss or something.
Okay. Oof. Nice. Okay.
But I thought it was wicked awesome.
Okay.
But, like, there's so many things, and, like, as I said, I beat the game, but, like, if I didn't have to have my kids around to be playing, I would be playing it right now. Because I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface, and unfortunately, I read some spoilers, so I know that there's more to the game that I haven't gotten to yet.
Okay.
And I wish I hadn't read that, but then again, it does give me the motivation to keep going, to know that I'm not just doing a collectathon.
Right.
You know, that there is purpose for what I'm doing, that new things will be unlocked, you know. Oh man, there's so many cool costumes in this game.
Right. Oh, talking to the 4CR guys, that's something that they brought up was, speaking of loot boxes, is the kind of thing that other games would expect you to pay for.
Oh yeah.
Or at least have the option to pay for. And in this case, so I kind of like how the purple coins are like a thing in Mario.
Oh yeah, I love that.
And I don't know how long it's been a thing, but did it start with kind of like the Yoshi coins in Super Mario World? Is that fair to say?
No, I mean, okay, you had other coins that were before, like, that would lead to, like, secrets and bonuses, but, like, that they're being used as currency to unlock things, that's new.
Right.
That's new. Right, that's like, Odyssey.
Right. Like, I mean, not just the purple ones, but, like, the regular ones, too, are also actual currency, which is, that's awesome. Why did it take 32 years?
I mean, you had Mario RPG. It's currency there, but, yeah.
Okay, is it? Okay.
But,
okay.
But yeah,
but like, you know, the purple ones, you know, being specific to these.
Love that it's local areas. Currency, local currency. Right. I love it. I can't wait for Odyssey 2, where there's like an exchange rate, like you can buy
inflation.
Yeah, inflation. Yeah, but I love that because even in a level like. You found all the moons. Have you found all the purple coins yet? Have you decked out the Odyssey? Right. You know, it's very, it's a very rewarding game that even if you haven't found a moon, maybe you found some purple coins while you're looking around. So like, or if you haven't there, you've at least found some regular coins because some of the post game costumes take a lot of coins to unlock. So like,
oh, sure.
And, oh, we've gotten rid of lives.
Yes.
We didn't even
mention
that. Lives don't.
The coins are your lives. Now, you lose 10, and as long as you didn't lose them in a place where Mario would also die, you can retrieve them again, and you have infinite lives.
Oh my gosh, it's Sonic again. They're rings, aren't they?
Right. No. Yeah. They are just like. Well, there's a lot Sonic about this, honestly. If I'm being perfectly, perfectly honest. But just. Again, going to like the character and how every kingdom that you go to is completely imaginative and unique, even though there are these things like 50 to 100, or are there more than that anywhere?
No, I think 100's the most. Yeah.
Okay. And it's always a challenge, and it's always interesting. I never feel like it's tedious.
I don't feel, and I think that's one of the same things I felt with Zelda. I felt like even when I wasn't knowing exactly what I was doing and wasn't doing, you know, making progress on the story, I was still enjoying what I was doing because the reward seemed just to reward just doing. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, would I want purple coins if I couldn't buy outfits with them? Probably not.
No, that's true.
Stickers and everything else. I wouldn't. Yeah. It's always like I need to get 15 to get this region's special outfit. I don't care if it's worth anything to me beyond that, because my kids like changing their outfits. So,
Pauline has given Princess Peach a run for her money in my daughter's eyes.
Oh, for sure.
They always loved Peach. But, and this, proud of my girls, proud of my girls. They're like, Pauline's the mayor?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah. She's like, the mayor of this city. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, that's so cool. You know? But you know what? Peach in this game, you haven't beat the game yet. Never mind.
I know.
But
so unless she really wants to get married to Bowser or something, like all those fan films always allege, then nothing's going to surprise me.
We're going to talk about Mario Odyssey again after you beat it. So
okay.
We will, but I'll leave you with this question. Does the resolution of Super Mario Odyssey mean that this particular trope might end?
Oh God, because that's the first thing I thought was like, you know, in a world where feminist frequency exists and tropes versus women versus gaming,
yep.
Like how is it that they didn't address that? And you're telling me that they did, maybe.
I don't want to spoil it for you because I would like to talk about this, so please.
Sure.
Please,
because I am very annoyed, honestly. That's my one complaint is that they still relied on this trope. But if it goes somewhere interesting, then all right, bring it on.
I mean, it's still Nintendo. They're quite conservative, but you'll be interested to see how it goes.
Okay,
you'll be interested to see how it goes because it wasn't what I think most people were expecting.
Okay, I mean, I believe you.
Okay, but yeah, take a look and tell me. And as I said, the post game is still going on, so I'm not entirely sure the conclusion yet. So,
okay. So speaking of other games that are like this, I know, and maybe people didn't realize this about Mario 64, or no, am I thinking of Sunshine? Which game was it where you could basically go back and like reset the state of the world as it was when you got the first items? Is that Sunshine I'm thinking of? Or is that Mario 64 also?
I don't know. I beat Mario 64, but I never got every star, so.
I think it is 64, so.
It might be.
And this is kind of also in
Super Mario World.
Run.
Super Mario World allowed you to do the season stuff. Do you remember that?
Oh, we're going to do a video about that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Whoops. Ha ha. Never mind. Speaking of videos. Oh, we'll get to that later. Okay.
But if you guys have played Super Mario Run, this is probably a better example because I know for a fact this is how it works.
Yeah.
There are ways you can get those purple coins, those five in a, in an area. And then the next time you go into it, it's going to default to like the next set of purple coins, but it changes the world. It changes the level. Yep. So it's in a different configuration. So you can go back and it takes a couple extra steps, but you can go back to any point that any earlier configuration. And I believe that it was the same deal for Super Mario 64.
Maybe
you could go back to like the first star and recollect it again and do all that stuff over. I could be thinking of Sunshine, but I think it's Mario 64 where that started.
It might be.
But so far in this game, I can't do that, and I'm a little annoyed because I really liked how atmospheric New Donk City was when I got there, And now it's all different now that I've beaten
that
first
because you came in during the rain and stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure because, as I said, I'm not. I haven't. I have. I've beat it, but I haven't completed it yet. And okay. I know that there's a. From what I've read, that spoiled it for me. You know what? Let's table that one.
All right.
But can...
I'll just say that it wasn't something you had to unlock before. It was just an always present feature of the game, but it might not have been a known feature of any of those games.
I feel like
people probably didn't try it.
I feel like I'm playing a sequence of Pixar movies. Not necessarily in I know that the whole thing with PlayStation Toy Story like graphics. That's not what I'm getting at. Yeah. What I'm getting at is they're charming worlds, which are very unique, with a cast of likable characters that can be loved by both children and adults.
Yes.
I mean that the Switch is getting me back into playing modern games. I was getting a little burnt out, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really was, and I'm not sure if it's the hardware. It's partially the hardware, just because I can play it in any setting. That's definitely helpful, but also it's that the games Nintendo's been putting out recently, it's like they finally get it again.
Oh yeah,
I enjoyed the Wii U a lot, but like, and I enjoyed games like Nintendo Land very much, but it was not what they should have been making.
Mm.
Because, like, when they made Skyward Sword, it was a good game. At least my brother says it was. I have it. I just haven't.
Oh, I like that one a lot. I played it twice.
But still, like... But even, like, okay, when they came out, like, okay, one of my favorite Zelda games of all time is Wind Waker. I love it. I love it. But it wasn't really what people were asking for at the time.
Right.
It's like Breath of the Wild is finally
Zelda,
like...
Zelda, not Zelda.
Exactly. But no, it's like Breath of the Wild was finally like, hey, you know what? What do people actually want? Okay, let's make that. Oh, okay. And what do people actually want for a Mario game? Oh, they want Mario 64, but more beautiful. Okay, well, let's do that.
Right.
You know, they're not...
Well, it took them 20 friggin' years.
Hey, I loved Mario Galaxy. Apparently not enough to beat it. Sorry. it's not my fault. It's not my fault. Like, one of my kids, like, scratched the disc to the point where it didn't work anymore. But I beat Galaxy 2 because I downloaded that on the Wii U.
Oh, there's a Galaxy 2.
Yeah, it was. Galaxy 2 is really good, but like I would like to have seen the story. It didn't have much of a story though, whereas Galaxy had a really nice story. So I'll have to pick up a copy. But because it's a Nintendo game, they never go down in price. And now I just and we just talked about how buying digital is a bad idea now. So I was I was gonna say I guess I could get it for $20 on the Wii U, but now I don't want it anymore. So
all right,
I'm ruining gaming for me. But anyway, like Super Mario Odyssey is indeed that. It's this around the world in 80 days type of like globe trotting, constant surprise, just a gem of a game. I'm going to have a very hard time determining what my game of the year is this year.
Mm.
Almost always there's one game that stands out, you know, head and shoulders above the rest, but I've enjoyed Zelda so much and I've enjoyed Mario Odyssey so much. And Splatoon I've enjoyed, but that's not my game of the year, you know.
Right, right. Well, I clearly need to play more of Odyssey.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's the kind of game that I could say is my game of the year, even though it's beautiful and I'm really enjoying it. Like there's just something really special about Breath of the Wild that got me to play the same Zelda game, you know, like the same playthrough for like 100 hours.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've always liked Mario games. Apparently, though, not Sunshine, but but like in general, you know, Mario games were one of the only 3D series that I enjoyed. You know, I don't like, you know, for the most part, I don't really like 3D games, and I never really got into 3D Zeldas other than like Wind Waker, you know. Mm-hmm. And Zelda Breath of the Wild is the one that brought me in, you know. So like for me, it like it, and I didn't previously like open world games either, you know.
Right.
So yeah, I'd say it's probably going to be my game of the year. Although, hey, Xenoblade's still coming out.
Right, right.
But a fantastic year there. But yeah, that's Super Mario Odyssey.
I think the last thing I want to say about Odyssey before we move on,
go ahead,
is there are motion controls. Most of them have alternatives.
Yep.
But there are some that don't, and so, you know, it even recommends in the directions, yes, that you play in the kickstand mode.
Yeah.
But I haven't yet, and I find that playing in the standalone, you know, whatever. What do you call that mode with like the things attached, the controls grip? Are attached?
Oh, just handheld mode?
Yeah, the handheld mode. Like it's fine. Like it's a little weird because you got a jerk and then the screen moves, but you don't like lose your place or anything like that. It's not too strange.
Yeah.
To have to do that.
No, it's not weird. During most of my playthrough, I've been playing it with the split Joy-Cons because I really like really good HD rumble in the game.
Mm. Oh, it's, yeah.
Like, very, really very good HD rumble. But recently I've been playing it with my Pro Controller because it's so comfy.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what I do most of the time as well.
And I don't have really any problem with it. Like, I think you can do pretty much anything, and I think the like what a heat seeking hat basic thing is harder to do, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But wonderful game. Wonderful game. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm really glad you're enjoying it, Sean.
Me too.
And
especially because
I
couldn't exactly afford it when I bought it. So at least my guilt is slightly assuaged.
Oh, are you angling for a Christmas present? Is that all this?
No.
Because maybe I'll send you something with 103 built-in games.
Oh boy, could I? You know the way to my heart.
To train your game, head over to our show notes at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for additional pictures, video, and bonus audio for this episode. Call us at 608-492-1923 to leave a voicemail for our Denchi Mail episodes, or send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter at Famicom Dojo. Consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube for our latest videos about retro, import gaming, and more.
I'm teasing videos that I'm working on right now.
Oh, for sure.
I bought another one today, Sean.
Oh, no.
And this one looks like it has 8-bit versions of Metal Slug on it, so it's going to be...
Could we?
Last week these things defeated me. I've been buying these Famicom clones that have built-in games. They're okay Famicom clones, and all of them have cost me around less than $10 so far each. And a lot of them have built-in games. So the first one I reviewed had like 30, and the second one has 103. And I gotta say, some of them were so bad that I got to game 50 and I just stopped. I'm like, I'm done. I need to go have a drink, you know? And I thought I'd come back to it, but like I was like, oh, I need no. And it's 2 weeks later. I haven't come back to it yet. But oh, I'm going to do it right after this podcast. This podcast. And then I bought another one today, a handheld, because I don't know. Like, these games are terrible, but I think these are of all the Famicom Dojo videos we've made, the ones where I play the terrible cheap games are my wife's favorite videos. She enjoys. So we were shopping, and she's like, hey, look, it's one of those things with the crap games.
So she's the enabler.
She's like, you should get it and make a video. And I'm like,
oh, no.
Yeah, she's.
That's just the worst.
It is. But for those who do like those videos, the ones I have, one of them looks like a Famicom controller. The whole system is basically the size, you know, is a Famicom controller. You can put cartridges in the back, and it's got built-in games. And the other one looks like a Switch, which shows you how quickly they're making these things. Mm-hmm. Because they can't even get real Switches out in shops.
Tell me about it. I actually saw one in Best Buy. I took a picture. I should put it in the show notes.
When I was visiting America, I saw one at Target. I almost bought it just because I, you know. But I hear shipments are way up. We just got done. At the time we're recording this, it was just Black Friday. I think I can say that. Who knows what year this podcast is going to come out. But
good grief.
there were a lot of Switches, I guess, in stock. So we'll have to see. But apparently they had a $199 PlayStation 4s as well, so that's going to provide a lot of. I need to get myself a PlayStation 4, but like my reasons for getting them keep drying up.
Yeah, if you can't get a PC, what's even the point?
Well, not that, but like, a lot of the titles that I was like, I always tell myself like, if they make another Valkyria Chronicles, I'm going to buy whatever system it's on. But it got announced for PlayStation 4 and Switch. So I'm just going to buy it on Switch, you know?
Right.
Basically the only game that I really must play on PlayStation 4 right now, Shenmue 3. But
yes.
So I mean, I will definitely buy a PlayStation 4, and I'm sure there's games that once I have the system I'll want to play. But like I don't know. Give me some compelling PlayStation 4 exclusives. You're an owner of the system. Tell me, because listeners, give me some compelling PlayStation 4 exclusives, because I'm pretty much ready to pull the trigger when I see one at a good price. But I would have bought one already if I could think of some must haves.
Mass Effect Andromeda.
Nope.
Man, I got nothing for you.
No, I mean, like, there's gonna be Shenmue, and that's mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. And I would like to play Final Fantasy 15. I really would. Mm. So, but I mean, that's on a lot of platforms. But you know, but I'd play it on PlayStation 4.
No, the only other thing I want to say before we call it quits for this week is I know some people are concerned about the existence of Metro City, the Metro Kingdom and New Donk City, and what it means for Mario's status as a human being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just found a at least convincing theory for me about a good take on that I posted to our Facebook page. I'll leave it in the show notes for the podcast as well.
Ooh.
And I won't say anything more than that, except just read the article. Although it does kind of IDW Megatron Bowser a bit, if anyone knows what I mean by that.
Nope.
I'm sure Nick would. If only Nick were here. Maybe Nick should be my co-host.
Hey.
He's our Vink Light anyway.
Vink Light. The low-calorie alternative.
So cool. Awesome. Well, it's good to be back doing this podcast thing again.
It is.
So I guess until next time then, the dojo is?
Dojo is available if you can find the next 25 purple coins. That's how you unlock the dojo. Hey, it could have been in a loot box. Welcome to the
Sakai Jura Continue! What? If
Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at AmariTones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at illustrations.co.uk. Find us at famicomdojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Famicom Dojo.
Here's how it works. One of my friends comes by the studio, I pick their favorite movie, and we talk about it for 10 minutes.
Luke, why the f*** do you like this movie?
Well, I'll tell you why the f*** I like this movie, Rob.
Go get it. It's on Netflix. Go watch it. It's brilliant. Do it now, or I'll punch you.
Up top!
This is 10 minutes about your favorite movie.
Listen to 10 minutes about your favorite movie every Monday on the Little Podcast Network.